talking to my sister-in-law, she's over and her husband's a Church of England minister. And I've been doing the... I said, why don't you just phone up and say, you know, well, I got someone else to do it. I said, listen, I go to Shiloh. He said, it's hardcore. He said, you don't phone up the last minute and ask somebody else to do it. This is a Church of England. Okay, as Paddy said, we're starting the series of talks on I Am, the seven I Ams, and found in John. And I got the first one. Which gives me a great opportunity to have a bit of fun at the start, because usually I'm second or third that I don't get this. I'm going to read first of all from John chapter 6, verses 28 to 35. Just pray beforehand. Father God, I just ask for your strength and your help, Lord God, in delivering this talk, that you would help me to present it clearly and precisely. And Lord God, that your spirit would guide me, and that we would see what you're saying to us tonight in this talk. Just ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So John chapter 6, 28 to 35. Then they said to him, that being Jesus, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. We're looking at I Am, and I'm looking at I Am the bread of life. And I feel really guilty for doing this, because I know Dave only did it a wee while ago, so what were we crusty with me? Dave did a whole thing about how he went to France and ate his bread. I'll come to that in a wee minute. I Am, that's a massive statement to make, isn't it? It is a big statement. Whenever Jesus says, I am, then he's got the seven things that follow. He's declaring something that only he can declare. There's something that only he can offer. It is something that only he can say and truly carry out or do. So I am the bread of life. Tonight I'm speaking on this. I was thinking about I am during the week. And here's a couple of people who have made these claims, okay? Chesney Hawks, the old Chesers. Good looking fella back in the day, he sang the song, I am the one and only. I am the one and only. Do, do, do. Really good song actually back in the day. Then we have this here. I got my resurrection, come here. Right? I am legend. This is a film, I think it's Will Smith comes to, he has to save the world from a virus that's going to wipe out mankind. But the title is I Am Legend. In other words, you know, there's nobody greater, nobody better. This next one I'm going to show you is one that has greatly affected me over many, many, well, actually over the last 2 years. And every time I see this advert, my knees go weak. Now, without people like Taddy knowing, does anybody know where this advert is from?
Number 2?
Nope. That's very good though. Does anybody have a clue? Taddy, you tell them. You do?
Yeah.
I prepped you for this.
I'll have to give you the Mars part.
Okay, I'll tell you myself then. Oops. I Am is the advertising campaign for Nikon cameras. It's a very powerful advertising campaign. This, the skill of the communicator evoking the desire to want what they offer. I Am. Now, in there, we usually have the I Am, the Nikon D810, which is the one I desire above all. Or you have the I Am Nikon D750, which is the one that I have desired lately. And these cameras are powerful. I love them and I become obsessed with them. But the advertising campaign is wonderful and it evokes power of music, of imagery. Their magazines have it, and it's just all up. The way they present it to you, you just want to have that Nikon in your hands. Quite often, I've been going to the Nikon shop and just feeling them and touching them and looking at them. They see me coming into the shop, one guy's behind the counter, the other one tends to eat their lunch. So I close up and I come in. I could spend 3 hours just looking at something in there. And then this week, or the last few weeks, they're really happy because I bought some stuff. But it's the power of advertising and the power of wanting you to have what they offer. I am. Greater than that is this. Now many of you know this. I am that I am. Who said that? What did Kelly say? Nobody? God said, yes, Billy, 10 out of 10. God said it to Moses. In the book of Exodus, God's people Israel are under oppression in Egypt. Pharaoh's treating them really bad. They went there originally, free people, ended up slaves, and they cried out to God because of their oppression, and God decides that He's going to deliver His people out of the hands of Pharaoh, and He chooses Moses, and Moses, of course. We all know about Moses. He wasn't exactly the most confident person in the world that God spoke to or chose to use to speak to the children of Israel. And so whenever Moses is wanting to have some kind of, how are they going to believe me and what that you sent me, and what sign are you going to give me and how am I going to use it, God said, tell them I am that I am, or that I am who I am has sent you. So God in the book of Exodus was the first person, the only person that should really have the title, I am. Okay, so bread.
No bread. I watched that. I thought over.
Stuff about bread is it's a basic dietary element for many of us. We have toast. We have baguettes. Lots and lots of stuff we eat with bread. The thing about bread is, today we don't actually necessarily need bread. We have so many other foods that give us the carbohydrates that this gives us that we don't necessarily need it. But in the biblical times, bread was utterly important for many reasons. A, it was their main staple diet. Secondly, it was used, the grain offering and the bread offering into the temple. It was used at feast times, the feasts of Passover used unleavened bread because if they were coming out of Exodus, they had no time to bake the bread properly. It's to remind them to think back to the time of oppression, living in captivity. We have it being referred to many times in the Bible. And this is one of them tonight that I'm speaking from in John. I am the bread of life. Jesus often used everyday things to tell his stories. He talks about bread, and the people knew what the bread was, and they understood the bread. And whenever Jesus is talking to the people here about this, the bread, they kind of challenge Jesus a bit. I think it's a bit cheeky, really. Because Jesus, only prior to this, has done the miracle of feeding, I think it was the 4,000 to 5,000 with the bread, and he's done the thing with bread. He showed who he is already, and they're asking for a sign here. And they refer back, this is the best image I could find of manna. It's a bit like the bread we have in our house. It was made in the house by Ruth, it sort of resembles very little all you can do with bread. Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. This is what they were posing to Jesus. We've got this sign already. So Jesus declares that he is the bread of life. And men ask this question. Jesus is being asked to perform a sign. When Moses led the people of Israel out of the wilderness, the people complained to Moses about the condition they were in. Now don't forget, when they were in the oppression in Egypt, they were crying out to God to deliver them, so God delivers them, brings them into the wilderness towards the promised land. And then they have the cheek to start complaining and moaning because they say they'd be better off under the hand of Pharaoh because they've nothing to eat and they're thirsty and they're walking around in circles. And they start complaining to Moses. And this is then where the manna comes from. God delivers manna from heaven to feed the people. As they said, they were hungry and they'd be better off in slavery. God provided. I looked up the name manna to see what the real meaning of it was. I thought this must be really special. translates as, what is this? They didn't, there's no real biblical secret behind manna. It's, what is this? Nobody knew what it was when it came down. But this manna was able to give them the food that they needed to start to make them stay alive, basically. It was physical food for the body, kept them from hunger. But there was another purpose behind the manna that was God was trying to reveal to the children of Israel at that time. And it was more than just being able to supply their sort of greedy hunger needs. He was trying to show them that man, or that they could not live by bread alone, that God actually was sustaining the children of Israel in the wilderness years, and yet they weren't really seeing that. So the common loaf for bread. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That was an amazing statement to make. You're talking to these everyday people Jesus is speaking to, and he is now turning bread into something as if it's some spiritual wonderful thing. And these people have got the wilderness years in their head, they've got the manna in their head, they've got the symbolism of that and what all that means. And now Jesus is saying, well, actually, I'm the bread of God sent down from heaven to this world. I mean, they couldn't get their head around it. They couldn't grasp what Jesus was saying. So he's further trying to explain it. And he goes further and he says, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Man does not live by bread alone. And this is what Jesus is going to try and demonstrate to them. So Jesus goes on and says this, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. We are not living today just because we eat bread or we eat our food. That's good, and it gives us substance, and it's, you know, helps us have our energy and everything, but that's not what gives us life. Our life comes from God, who permits us to breathe every second of every hour. We live because God is our provider. We live because God is our life giver, and he is our sustainer. This is why Jesus declares that he is the bread of life, and if we come to him, we shall never hunger. What does this mean? What are we to grasp from what Jesus is really saying? And when I was looking at the whole hunger issue, I thought about whenever Jesus was being tempted by Satan, again in the wilderness. And Satan comes to Jesus and he's tempting him. And one of the temptations that he says to Jesus is he looks at a stone and he says to Jesus, take this stone and turn it into bread. Because he knows the condition. Jesus has been had nothing to eat for 40 days and 40 nights, now being tempted by Satan. And Jesus rebukes Satan by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So we're starting to realize that Jesus isn't speaking about the physical pan loaf here. That he's starting to turn this into something more. It's more than just bread. It's more than just the physical substance he's talking about. It's the spiritual substance. It's the real life-giving source. And now we're starting to see the bread brought together with the word. And of course, we develop that word and we know that Jesus is the living word of God. So we've went past the physical need to the spiritual need. So this is every Christian believer's stable diet. This is what you should be eating first thing in the morning, last thing at night. Set down the plate, chop it up. This is the word of God. This is the Holy Bible. Jesus is the word of God. He became flesh. He is the Son of God and the Word of God, which we as believers need to believe in and hunger after. A plate of the Holy Bible every day will really sustain you, will teach you to learn to know who God is, to know who Jesus is, to love Jesus, to trust in him. The more and more of this that we can consume, the better condition and shape that we will be in. That is far better for you than this. The Word of God is the very thing that we need to be feeding on day in, day out. The problem is, as I see it, we need, with too many anorexic Christians, too many Christians that don't really take in the Word of God. They don't read their Bibles. They don't meditate upon it. They don't pray enough. And they wonder why they get sick or why things are going wrong or where their life's in a bit of a chaos. And they only turn to this as like a food supplement. You know, life's going terribly wrong and they realise they haven't done a few things and suddenly it's grab the Bible and get a good dose of the Bible and they're like eating vitamins and seeing if it'll change circumstances. It's not a quick fixed diet. It's an everyday stable diet that the everyday Christian should be consuming. And then you will have a good spiritual condition. I should actually have, I shouldn't say this, but we should have actually, there are lots of fat Christians because they eat so much of the Word of God. That'd be so much better. So, the Word of God, if you're not eating this, then you could be literally starving to death. And if you're starving to death, you have to ask yourself the question, will you accept the bread of life that Jesus is offering? Of course, you said Jesus is the bread of life. He is the Word of God. The Word of God is what we should be devouring every day. The bread of life is Jesus. The Word of God is given to us to sustain us spiritually. So are you starving to death? Or are you looking for something to fill you in this world? Is there something in this world you think is going to fill you more than the Word of God? Maybe you're chasing after, I don't know what you could be chasing, and if I can't imagine anything else, it would be, cameras. Maybe you're chasing after cameras. Or maybe you're chasing after the TV programs, or you're chasing after, you know, I don't know, some other club or something else you have in life that you think will fulfill and meet your needs. There's nothing this world has to offer that can meet or fill your needs the way that Jesus is offering it tonight. If you're filling your life with the thing, if you're filling your stomach or your everyday life with the things this world has to offer you, I'm telling you now, you're starving to death. You're starving to death because you're not coming to Jesus. You're not eating the right food. You're not being filled with the right substance. The bread of life that Jesus is offering, we as Christians know this symbolically whenever we take communion in here every other Sunday. We take the bread, we take the wine or the juice, and in it, we as Christians realize that the bread is the body of Jesus broken, and that the wine or the juice that we take symbolizes his blood that was spilt for us. And both of these can be seen in the crucifixion of Jesus when he gave up his life for us, so that if we believe in him, we would have eternal life, and that we would literally be feeding upon him every day of our lives. When we symbolically take the bread and the wine, we are communion with Christ. And that's where we are feeding off him as believers. Moses' bread in the wilderness that he gave to the children of Israel could do nothing more than fill their hunger. But they would all die in the wilderness. It wasn't going to sustain them and give them eternal life. The bread that Jesus offers is going to sustain you. It's going to fill you. And it's going to guide you. It's going to satisfy you. It's going to secure you. And it's going to save you. Like the Nikon advert that I showed at the start of this, Jesus has a fantastic advertising campaign going on we're going to see for the next 7 weeks. He makes claims that make me say, yes, I want to have that bread that he is offering. I want to have the life that he is offering. I want everything that he's telling me about, and I want it. How can I get it? Is there anything I can do? Can I work like he was asked? What work must I do? What must I do to get this eternal life, this bread that you're offering? And Jesus simply says, you must believe in me. It's me. There's nothing else you have to do. But because of sin, many are starving to death, wasting away in this life, heading towards death. Because of sin in their life, they do not have this bread that Jesus is offering. They choose to live the life the way they want to live it, and therefore they're rejecting Christ. And they will never have the substance and the security that Jesus is offering. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. The bread of this world cannot offer you eternal life. It cannot satisfy the longing in your soul. Many desire a Savior who will give them more than what Jesus is offering. I'll say that when I was thinking about this materially. Many preach the prosperity gospel. Come to Jesus and he will meet all your material needs. And that's what I'm thinking about the bread. Many preach that if you come to Jesus, he will save you and he will give you this and this and this, and you will have all the wealth and you'll have everything coming together. You're going to have a great Christian life if you come to Jesus, because he's going to meet every one of your needs. Well, that's false preaching. It's a false gospel. And many today preach this in churches, and many believe it and accept it and have secured a false salvation. What Jesus is offering is not the perfect 100% life on this earth that will fix everything for you. What Jesus is offering is life eternal, far beyond this life. I meant to say at the start of this talk, I was running feet with Ruth during the week, and I was talking about all the I ams that I am. And I said, well, Ruth, you know, I am gorgeous. I am clever. And Ruth in her sensible way said to me, well, actually, I've got a few for you can start with. And I said, well, what would that be? And she said to me, oh, how about I am sensitive, I am calm. And she went on with a few, but bringing it back to where we are now, the conclusion of this talk, the I ams that I think I am, and I am, the I am, I am, I am, are not the I ams that I really I am. The I ams that I really am are these. I am satisfied. I am sustained. I am secure. And I am saved. And all of these are only for me now because I put my trust in Jesus, who gives me the bread of life, the eternal life to come. We receive the spiritual bread that is Jesus coming down from heaven. We accept that, and we now all have these I ams as believers. If you're not a believer tonight, you don't have any of these I ams. If you're not a believer tonight, you don't have the bread that satisfies, and you don't have the life eternal. If I had to put this in a simple conclusion, if you want these four I ams, you must simply believe and trust what Jesus has said. Believe in me, trust in me, accept what I have done for you, and you can also have these five I ams. When we recognize this, when we recognize Jesus, who has previously poured his blood out for us on the cross, who has had his body broken for us on the cross, and all of that so that we would have our sins forgiven. If we believe this, we will have eternal life and eternal security with him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the truth that, Lord, you give us in your word. And I ask that as believers tonight in here, that we would really meditate upon the word of God, that we would devour it, Lord, in the sense that we would take it on board, that we would eat it spiritually, to know you, to understand more of who you are, to know more of your love for us, to know more about Jesus, to want, Lord God, to really feed off Jesus every day of our lives. Lord, please help us to really take this on board, and to know, Lord, that in you we are completely satisfied and secure because of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, we give you thanks tonight and ask you to bless us as we leave here and continue in this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.